today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
There are some people, they're just worldly. They're just caught up in their own thing. They're not listening. They don't understand. Christ, salvation, I don't know what you're talking about. Man, my life's fine. My life's in order. But there are some that the Word of God, it falls upon them and they go, you know, my life may be in order, but it's true. I do need something. I do know there's more to life than this. I get it. That's the seed of the kingdom of heaven. Some will get it, some will not.
In order for us to grow and have fruit in our lives, we must be willing to hear truth. Being closed off to the possibility that change needs to happen in your own heart is the worst form of denial. Consider this verse. He who belongs to God hears what God says, and if you don't hear, you don't belong to God. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now, open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 10, as we join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, How's Your Spiritual Hearing?
So the seed is the Word of God. There's a parable that many misunderstand. I want to talk about it while we're talking about seed. It's the wheat and the tares. And so they see the sower, and he sows, and the wheat grows up. And so, God plants people in the world that are good people, and then an enemy comes and he plants bad people. But that is not at all what that's about. The seed is the Word of God. So the seed falls on the soil and it produces people who produce fruit, people who are in the world. Whereas an enemy comes along and sows bad seed, we could say false doctrine, worldly philosophy, those kinds of things, and it causes growth there too. So that they're side by side, living together, very often in the church together. But it isn't something that's right or true. And we're going to find out over the course of a few parables that Jesus is teaching us something that is pretty amazing, that he knew that well in advance. So there's the seed. Then the sower is Jesus. He's the one who initiates. Now we said that this is the first parable, the first of the kingdom parables. And so Jesus is the sower. We didn't create the gospel. We didn't invent it. It had to be spread. It had to be started somewhere. Jesus will define himself later on as he explains this parable as the sower. He sows it out and he sows it on all sorts of hearts so that some will produce and continue the work. In fact, some of you, if you're saved today, you owe the disciples who stood before Jesus on this day, receiving the gospel, who it bore fruit in their heart and they shared it somewhere else as it began to spread and then it shared and they shared it. You owe some of your thanks to the seed that bore fruit as some of them were standing right here before Jesus hearing this. And we can give thanks to those who bore fruit. And now it's your turn. It doesn't stop here. Now you're called to bear fruit. If the seed of God's word has come into your life, it's going to produce fruit after its own kind. It's going to come forth. And from you now, you're going to begin to spread that good news, that gospel of the kingdom of heaven, of salvation. Then there's the soil. Now that's the big limiter. That's the limiting factor. The seed is all good, but it can be the soil that hinders the growth. And we're going to look at four types of soil in this parable. In fact, right now in this room, there are four types of soil. The thing about the soil is it has to be prepared. We have to be willing to listen. The soil has to be prepared. It has to be tended to if it's going to produce fruit. Now, what that says to me is this. When God's word falls in your heart, it'll produce fruit. It'll produce fruit naturally. However, there's work that you need to do to tend to that. You can't just forget about it. You must take it, embrace it, take it in, maybe smooth a little of the nutrients of the soil over it to guard it, to keep it from being snatched away. You got to meditate on it, the scriptures talk about. Find out what it is that God's saying. And then as it begins to grow, there's water that's necessary. We take in the Word of God. We're directed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the life of somebody who's given in to the kingdom of heaven. We're taking in His Word. We're taking in that seed, and we're always allowing it to do its work and to produce change, transformation in us. We need it. It's alive and active. It says God's Word is alive and active like a double-edged sword, piercing, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, when a plant is in soil, it's got to be good soil. But you also can't continue to take a plant and dig it up and move it, and then dig it up and move it, and dig it up and move it. It will die. Now, I'm saying that specifically because there are some individuals, some people out there who they never find a home fellowship. They never find a place to plant themselves. They're always on the move. It is very hard to grow when you're always on the move and you're never consistent. We need consistency for ourselves to grow. So I want to encourage you, if you are one of those, you're looking for a home fellowship, looking for a church to call home, find a place where you feel like you can be taught. Find a place where you believe, all right, God speaks to me here. I can grow here, and plant yourself. If it's here, great. Welcome. If it's somewhere else, then plant yourself and grow. But it takes time, because I learned something from my wife. I didn't know you could kind of transplant bushes at all, but she told me you could. Whether you could or not, she told me to transplant the bush. So I did it. You know, so I moved this bush and I plant it somewhere else. And it starts to die. And I think, well, see, you can't plant those things somewhere else. But she explained to me that they go through shock. So there's a shock value, but then it begins to thrive based upon the soil again and the environment and the conditions. It roots itself, it's established, and then only once it's established does it begin to grow again and thrive. But it must be established. We go through a similar shock. When you're like hopping the churches and stuff, you go through and, oh, where's the children's ministry? Where's that? What do they do? How do they do it here? How do they teach it? And how's the worship? And okay, you settle in. And by then, everybody, they're ready to move on again. And I think one of the reasons they won't be committed is they like the honeymoon period. When you're the new person, everybody's on you. How are you? Are you new? Yeah. Oh, we love. Oh, come back. We love the new person. Yeah. I'm the new guy. They haven't said hi to me in a long time. I need to go be the new guy again somewhere. But the problem with that is it's a deception, because you never really grow. Think about it. I mean, just think about it logically, reasonably. If your craving is to always have all the attention on you, there's something wrong. At some point, we do need to be established, to grow, to let people get in and know us and to see those blind spots and to help us to grow. That's what the body of Christ really helps us to do. The water begins to come in. The root system begins to establish itself. And we really need that. And we need our hearts prepared to come to church so that we're ready to minister. We come, I know, we need to be ministered to. We come and we take our breath. Oh boy, it's so good to be around the Lord and to worship. But you know, someone may need you also. We need to be prepared to not just grab fruit, but to produce it so that someone else can benefit from what's gone on in our life. So the soil is very important. It needs to be prepared. Three-fourths of the conditions here bore no fruit. Three of the four conditions spoken about bore none. So what does that mean for us? Here's what we can take. Jesus and the kingdom of heaven isn't impressed with just being a good person, being nice, saying hallelujah or amen. He's looking for fruit. The key here is it produced fruit, and that was the good soil. So we want to check ourselves to find out, are we producing good fruit? Not just good fruit, like good things. I mean fruit that is building up the kingdom of heaven, that has its emphasis, the kingdom of heaven. Is that coming forth from our lives? Because really, we can take good things and things that I want to do and say, well, look, I'm representing the Lord. I'm doing good things. And my business is, you know, I have a scripture at the bottom of our website. So I'm ministering to people. And really, it's just a front saying, well, see, I have fruit. But no lives are being transformed. No one looks to you and says, man, how do I have a marriage like yours? How do I get my home in order like yours? That's what I'm talking about. The kingdom of heaven, when it falls into a heart that's listening and willing, produces natural fruit. We all have our areas of weakness. We're not all perfect in every area. But fruit is produced, and it's produced naturally. Verse 10, the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. See what he's revealing in these parables? The mysteries of heaven. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So he's speaking in parables because those who understand will get it. Those who are willing to accept it will get it. But others who, they'll just say, I don't get it. I don't understand what he's talking about. He's just blabbering. And it's not a picture of Jesus' ability to communicate. He's saying this is a condition of the heart. Someone who can hear the message will hear it. Someone whose heart is in the right place will understand it. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. He's saying, it's not because they can't hear, they won't. And what they don't recognize is, I need to be fixed. I need to be healed. He says, I would do it. But because they will not hear, they will not listen, the very thing they need to fix them, to help them, they won't receive. You ever talk to somebody and you have the biblical counsel that they need, and it's like, I know, I've heard that. I don't want that. I mean, I need a resolve. Like, that is the resolve. You need to align yourself with the Word of God. Here's the answer. There are things you need to change. Well, there are some that just won't change things. They will not receive, and so nothing changes for them. But he says in verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So why the parables? Well, because parables are stories that, in this case, take a heavenly truth and teach it in a way that can be understood by the common person of the day. I mean, if I were to take a musical illustration and try to illustrate a point of life to you, you'd go, fifths, thirds, I don't know what you're talking about. Because you wouldn't be able to relate. So Jesus takes these heavenly truths and he relates them in a way that the common person can understand. So it's not like he's trying to be deceptive. He's presenting it to all, but he also knows that I speak it in this way so that those who want to hear will, those who don't will not. Nathan and David, the prophet Nathan, give us a great example of this. The prophet Nathan spoke to King David and gave him a parable. He said, there was a certain man, he was rich, he had lots of sheep, lots of land, he was very wealthy. And then there was another man. He was poor and he only had one ewe lamb and he loved it and it was like a pet. I mean, it's like he's never going to slaughter it or give it up because it's like family to him. And so visitors come in and the right thing to do is to prepare a meal. And so instead of taking one of his own many lambs who are just numbers to him, he instead goes to the one guy and he steals his lamb and kills it and serves that to his friends. And David's response, he was upset. He said, that man should die and repay. And he knew the right thing to do. He knew the justice that would be demanded on an occasion like that. And Nathan says, basically, that was a parable. You're the man. And David says, man, you got me. The reason David would say you got me is because he understood. He realized, you know what? That's me. That's true. David was ready to receive it. But others outside, they may have said, what is Nathan talking about? A rich guy? Who is the rich guy? I don't understand this. But David understood. And the word of God and the preaching of the kingdom of God is like that. There are some people, they're just worldly. They're just caught up in their own thing. They're not listening. They don't understand. Christ, salvation, I don't know what you're talking about. Man, my life's fine. My life's in order. But there are some that the word of God, it falls upon them and they go, you know, my life may be in order, but it's true. I do need something. I do know there's more to life than this. I get it. That's the seed of the kingdom of heaven. Some will get it, some will not. And that's why the parables, because it will fall in the right soil and the right soil will produce fruit. He says, to you, it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but not to them. Who's the you? He's speaking specifically to his disciples, but generally he's speaking to those who are committed to him and building up his kingdom. His desire, again, is to reveal these things. I want to reveal some mysteries here, some things that are going on right here on planet Earth about the kingdom of heaven that's being built up right before you. And I want you to understand it. But many didn't understand it. Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not understand. And his quote is from Isaiah 6, where he's quoting Isaiah. You know, Israel was always in rebellion. Judgment was always coming on Israel. I mean, that was the job of a prophet, right? Why can't they just obey? So as a prophet, I could share some good news. Hey, God is blessing us. Look out for the harvest this year. Hey, sharpen your sickle, man, because you're going to have an abundance this year. Love to be a prophet, but they couldn't share that. No, a prophet was reduced to the role of going, judgment is coming. We hate you. Oh, man. This is going wrong in your life. We'll kill you. Well, God, I don't even want to say anymore. But that was the job of a prophet. And, you know, some, I feel like that sometimes. If you share the word of God, you feel like that sometimes. You know, you're sharing like, let me find anything good, Lord. But, oh man, I got to talk to him about that. And you share the seed and you do it in as loving as a way, but it's like, I'll kill you. You don't know. And like, I understand what the prophets went through. It's true. That's the word of God. And Isaiah had to share the truth. God spoke through him. Jeremiah thought, I don't want to say any more, God. They don't like me. They're throwing me in wells. They don't have anything to do with me. I'm not popular. Actually, I am very popular. But it's not the right kind of popularity. And so, in this passage, Israel has a stiff neck towards God. And there's a warning. And they didn't want to hear it. So they didn't hear it. Instead, they listened to Isaiah, and then later on they would listen to Jeremiah and hear these harsh words. That's hard. That's harsh words. But then they'd heap up for themselves other prophets. What do you guys say? Well, no, we're going to be successful. God's going to be with us. We're going to have abundance. We're going to beat those guys. All right, that's the word of God then. And they would always grab the encouraging, nice word that makes you feel good. All right, good. We're okay. But that wasn't the job of a prophet. And he says, you know, we're in the same situation. I'm presenting the kingdom of heaven. And some are not going to hear it. So for us to grow, for there to be fruitfulness in our lives, here's a key. We must be willing to hear truth. Not just let it go in one ear and out. No, to let it get in and embed itself, to take it, to chew on it, to let it produce something in our lives. This is the birth of the kingdom here he's speaking about. Some wanted to hear about it, and so they did. They were able to press in and get even more information, but others had wanted nothing to do with it. And it's amazing how the same truth can fall on some hearts and melt them, and other hearts, it hardens them. I find that so interesting. I can't tell you guys how many times I have taught a message, and I will go down, and I always get a little of both sides. Oh man, powerful message. Man, the Lord was just speaking to me, and I got to change it. Oh, and the Lord spoke to me, and half the stuff I'm like, I never said any of that. God's really working on you, you know. But then there's the other side, and they're like, man, that was kind of hard. It's a hard message. I think you should soften the messages, and you really need to, you know, this needs to be an encouraging environment. And I get both, and it's the same message. And I go, man, one person loves it, they need it, and the other person says, man, you're a hard guy. And I think, what do I do? If I just hear, I'm going to make some mad. And if I just hear, I don't know what to do. Just cast the seed. And what I'm learning is more and more, if I do my job right and I present the heart of God, more and more the Word of God does its own work. And it's really a matter of the condition of the heart that receives it. And I got to be okay with that. A willingness to hear is so important. It's like the sun. You know, the sun bakes down and it'll melt ice, but it'll harden clay. And the difference in the two is what it's made of. There's some hearts that are melted by the Word of God. Some, it takes time. Slowly but surely, the Word of God melts that heart. But there are some, they are just hardened by it. They hear it and go, he's trying to talk to me. Well, I'm not taking that. He's manipulating. And they just get this hardness. Look, I don't know much about you or your life. Here's a question you should ask. Is it true? Whether I didn't say it the right way or a way that was more loving, the way you wanted it packaged, is it true? Then let the truth begin to chip away at that tough exterior, because that's the only way salvation comes to your life, is when you receive the truth of God's Word. And then for Christians, that's the only way we produce great fruit. Is that, you know, we can spring up but produce nothing. If you're going to produce fruit, you've got to be willing to hear in areas where the seed of God's Word falls, whether you like it or not, if it's truth. So we're talking about the birth of the kingdom. In verse 17, it makes it very clear to us. He says, many desired to see what you see and hear what you hear, but did not. Here's what he's saying. As he presents this parable, he's sowing the seed. He's beginning the kingdom. This, Adam and Eve, they longed to see this day. There was the promise of the Redeemer, the seed, right? They never saw it. Abraham, the father of our faith, he longed to see it. Oh, he lived, it says, for a kingdom, a city whose maker was God. But he never saw that day. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the Hall of Fame of Faith, chapter 11. Says about all those, they lived by faith, but they never got to see the promise. And now Jesus says, they long to see this. You're seeing it. It's here. The kingdom is here. On more than one occasion, he said, the kingdom of heaven is among you. And another phrase, he said, it's within you, not meaning it's you, meaning it's falling in your heart, and lordship as it takes place in your heart. Then the king is the king again, like he should be, which is Christ, and the kingdom is being established here and now. Many looked forward to the birth of the kingdom. We look back now at the birth of the kingdom, and we're a continuation of what's going on.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Building on the Solid Rock, the teaching ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you can download today's message or subscribe to our podcast, which is also available in the iTunes Store when you you search for Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you'd like to contact us, our email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. When you contact us, please let us know how today's broadcast has blessed you. Your feedback helps us know the Lord's direction for this ministry. Until next time, we'd like to say thank you for joining us, and please make plans to join us again, same time, same place, as we continue to study through God's Word. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Storms begin, but somehow I survive, and I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.